engaging sermons on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the chief priests and the elders of the people, "Hear another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a hedge around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a tower. Then he leased it to tenants and went on a journey. When vintage time drew near, he sent his servants to the tenants to obtain his produce. But the tenants seized the servants, and one they beat, another they killed, and a third they stoned. Again he sent other servants, more numerous than the first ones, but they treated them in the same way. Finally, he sent his son to them, thinking, 'Surely they will respect my son.' But when the tenants saw the son, they said to one another, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and inquire his inheritance.' They seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. What will the owner of the vineyard do to those tenants when he comes?" They answered him, "He will put those wretched men to a wretched death and lease his vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at the proper times. Jesus said to them, "Did you never read in the scriptures? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. By the Lord has this been done, and it is wonderful in our eyes. Therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that will produce its fruit." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
The vineyard, brothers and sisters, is a powerful image in Scripture. God's people, as Isaiah told us in that first reading, the vineyard of the Lord is the house of Israel. He plants his people, gives them the covenant, nourishes them, gives them a land, wants them to grow, wants them to produce fruit, like fruit on the vine, of justice and holiness. "Be holy, for I am holy," says the Lord. We read in Leviticus, and he gave all these commandments through Moses. He wanted the people to be fruitful. In fact, another image, of course, is the marriage. God said, "I'm marrying you, my people." And disappointment in the results is seen in the first reading and here in the gospel. God sets his people in place, gives them what they need to bear fruit, and they end up rejecting him. So much of Israel rejects him. They forsake the covenant in various ways. They don't accept the gospel and the Son of God when he comes. And so the vineyard, and you see here, by the way, in the gospel parable, the prediction of the recounting of the history of the prophets being killed. God sends these tenants, these servants, the prophets. He sent his servants, the prophets, and the people reject them and throw Jeremiah in the cistern, and they oppose the word of the Lord by opposing the prophets. Finally, he sends his son, and they kill him. But the gospel grows throughout the world. You read through the Acts of the Apostles, as Jews reject the gospel, the Gentiles open their minds and hearts to it. The gospel, the vine, grows throughout the world. And the vine is a foreshadowing of Christ himself. "I am the vine," he says in John 15. "You are the branches." That's the kind of intimate union, life-giving union we have with Christ. He is the vine. We are the branches. He says, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." And he wants us to bear fruit of holiness. Now, I want to focus with you on one particular form of fruit that we are called to bear as branches on the vine, who is Christ, is reflected in this second reading. It is fruitfulness in the way we think. "Bring every thought," Paul says, "into captivity to Christ." Every thought. It's not just a matter of loving in words and in deeds, but in words, in thoughts, and in deeds. We have to love in thought. We have to be focused on God, not just in word and in action, but in thought. And Paul says, think about the things that are true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, gracious, worthy of praise. He says, think about these things. He's giving us guidance here. A big part of the guidance in the spiritual life is teaching us how to think, what to focus on. He said, if you keep doing what you've learned and received, keep thinking about the things of the gospel that you have received, that have been passed on to you, then you'll have God with you. The God of peace will be with you. So much disturbance in life comes from bad habits of thinking. And we should do an examination of conscience for ourselves today and ask, do we tend to think of negative things? There's no need. We face the things we have to do every day in our lives. And so obviously we have to think about how do we solve certain problems in our lives. But you know, there's an awful lot of discretionary thinking. We can choose, when we do choose each day, each moment, what we're going to think about. If we're constantly thinking about negative things, this is going to become a spiritual obstacle. The enemy tries to make us think of negative things. Look, for example, at how these elections unfold. You know, and it may be the elections or it may be any other kind of battle. The battle is in the mind of the enemy. We try to get the enemy to think a certain way. So the enemy, the devil, that is prowling about like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour, is always trying to confuse our thinking. Think of troublesome things. Think of vexing things. Think of negative things. Think of negative things that don't even exist yet, but that might exist. And that's why Paul says here, dismiss all anxiety from your minds. Have no anxiety at all. If you have a worry, he says, bring it to God in prayer. But have no anxiety. It's a bad mental habit. The battle is in the mind of the enemy. If we can get the enemy to be confused, to be doubtful, that's why in elections you have suppression polls. You know, people want the other side to think that they're not doing well. There's where the battle is. The battle is in the mind of the enemy. Have no anxiety at all. Focus on prayer. Make your requests known to God, and then think of good things. Paul is saying to the Philippians, not things that you're making up. You're not making it up. There are things that are honorable, pure, gracious, lovely, just, true, worthy of praise, the whole beauty of creation, the goodness in relationships. What memories do you focus on, for example, when you find yourself, you know, sitting down and resting, you know, where are your thoughts wandering to? When you think about the past, are you focusing on good memories or on distressing ones? So much of this is under our control. Think of the good things. Dismiss all anxiety from your minds, Paul says. You know, we choose what we want to worry about. For example, when you went into whatever room you are in now, did the thought cross your mind that the roof might cave in on you? I doubt it. I didn't think of that when I came into this room where we're having this mass right now. I didn't give any thought at all to the ceiling or the roof, the tiles or what's up there, or how strong it is or how weak it is. I didn't give any thought to it at all. And yet, when's the last time you inspected that roof? If you chose to start worrying about it, well, maybe you can find some justification for worrying about it. See, I don't know when the last time was that it was inspected. In fact, it was a big windstorm the other day, or a rainstorm. How do I know it's not going to cave in? Well, We don't know these things with absolute certainty, but we choose not to worry because we have enough reason not to worry about so many things that we could be worried about. Worry is a bad mental habit. Paul says, dismiss all anxiety from your minds. You know, if there's really anxiety that you have, you can't reason your way through it. Paul uses the word dismiss. Dismiss all anxiety. It's like in a courtroom where trial is going on, witnesses are being called and questioned and then cross-examined. And the judge is sitting there listening to all this. That's like us listening sometimes to the arguments going back and forth in our minds. Should I worry about this? Should I worry about that? Is this getting better? Is this getting worse? And at a certain point, we have to take the gavel and hit it on the table and say, the court is adjourned. We're not going to have more witnesses. We're not going to have more questions. We're not going to have more cross-examination. Because if you're filled with anxiety, well, that's just going to make the mind ask more questions. You never get out of it. It's an endless loop. It's a black hole. The reason itself doesn't get you out of it. You have to hit the gavel and say, this court is adjourned. Dismiss the witnesses. Stop the questions. And put yourself into the hands of the Lord, thinking about the things that are true and lovely and excellent. Simple spiritual lesson. Doesn't mean that we make things up. It doesn't mean that we ignore things that are distressful that we have to think about. It just means trusting in the Lord, thinking about the positive things. Remember, discretionary thinking. Choose to think about good and positive things because we are branches on the vine. And it is Christ who is truth itself, goodness itself, love itself. He's the vine of which we are the branches and the fruit that we are to bear. Peace of soul, joy of heart, gladness of spirit, that peace of mind, that positive outlook, rooted not in fantasy, rooted in the glorious gospel of Christ, of his love for us, of his promises, of his protection, of the great things that await us in heaven. Think on that. How glorious it's going to be in heaven. Think on his glorious love and providence. Think of the great things. You know, Scripture is always saying, do not forget the works of the Lord. Remember how he delivered you, the wonders he worked of old. This is one of the reasons why we have to be constantly reading the Scriptures and doing positive spiritual reading and listening to testimony. We have, for example, in our pro-life work, the Silent No More campaign, those who have been rescued, lifted up, redeemed, even from an evil as great as abortion. And we listen to and we think about, ponder, meditate on, reflect, talk about, bring to mind, bring to others' minds this glorious freedom that they have found in the Spirit, the beautiful redemption, salvation, forgiveness, healing. There's so much good to think about. Let's do so. Let's feast at the table of all that is honorable and pure and gracious and true, just, lovely, excellent, worthy of praise. And then, as Paul said to us, then the God of peace will be with you. Amen.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.